When I was in 10th or 11th grade, we had moved here from Colorado and had been here before. My dad was in the military and were stationed here once and then went to Colorado about 3 years and then was stationed back here a second time. And in 10th grade, I began to go to Trinity Presbyterian School and I was Catholic and would go to Mass every Sunday with my mom and my sister and was religious, very religious. But I began going to a Bible study in the youth minister across the street from the school. It was Eastwood Presbyterian Church, and he led a Bible study for high school students, and we would all go over to a certain person's house and have a Bible study in the home. And the thing that I remember just struggling with and dealing with was this youth minister. He would talk about giving your life to Jesus. Just giving everything that you are to Jesus. Give your life to Jesus. I remember hearing that and thinking about that. And I thought, I just can't do that. That's too scary. And I'd hear him say it, but I'd think, I can't give my life to Jesus. You know, I would think, what would happen? You know, it would scare me to death. You know, I'd think about evangelists and people that would go out and share the gospel and share Jesus with people. I'd think about people that would stand up in front of people and share Jesus with people. And that just terrified me. I thought, man, you know, if I give my life to Jesus, he might ask me to do something like that. And that terrified me. I was like, I better just hold back a little bit. I couldn't handle that if I was supposed to be an evangelist or something. And I was scared of that concept, giving your life to Jesus. I didn't understand at that time that losses equal gains in God's economy. I didn't know if I could trust Him. I didn't know if I gave Him my whole life, what would He do to me? What would He tell me to do? Where would He tell me to go? I didn't know if I could trust Him. And so I kind of held back. I just held on to my old life. And I was wrong. You see, fear took over. One of the devil's greatest tools that he loves to use is fear. And he used that one on me, and fear worked. That fear of the unknown, that fear of giving my whole life to Jesus. The devil will use that tool on you. He'll ask you to do something. God might be asking you today to give Him your life. There may be an area of your life that you're just kind of holding back. Maybe you've given most of your life to Him, just about all of it, but you've got one or two little secret areas you just don't want to give up to Him. And the devil uses that tool of fear in your life. Don't let him use it. It's a lie. It's a lie from the pit of hell. It smells like smoke. Don't believe it. Don't believe the devil's lie. You see, because the truth is, God did call me to do all that stuff, but I love it. It's incredible. I wouldn't trade it for anything. I can't believe I get paid. I'm serious. It's wonderful serving the Lord, giving my life to Him. I love sharing Jesus with people, with anybody, a crowd or an individual or whatever. But I didn't know God was going to change my heart, and I didn't know He would somehow make that possible. I just feared it. But I love what I do now. Do you understand this morning? Do you understand that losses equal gains in God's economy? Do you understand that when you give your life to Him, when you give everything that you are to Him, that actually you gain? You really don't lose anything. You just gain. Do you understand that this morning? Do you understand that when you give your life away to Jesus, you actually gain a much better life than you ever had or ever imagined you could have or ever thought you could have. Do you realize that? Do you realize that John 10:10 is true when Jesus said, "The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." Another translation, Jesus said, "I have come that you may have life and that you may have it to the full." Jesus, God in the flesh, God wants you, Jesus wants you to have the abundant life while you're here on earth. The full life, the greatest possible life that you could have. But the only way you can get it is if you give it all over to Him. You just give Him your whole life. You'll never have it if you hold anything back. Turn with me to Luke chapter 9. And let's look at this. Let's look a little more into this. Losses equal gains in God's economy. Luke chapter 9. If you're new at this, you turn over to the right part of your Bible. That's the New Testament. It's much smaller than the Old Testament. You'll see Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Luke chapter 9, verses 23 through 25. Jesus is speaking to His disciples here, and He tells them this. "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow Me. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. But whoever loses his life for Me will save it. What good is it for a man to gain the whole world and yet lose or forfeit his very self?'" Pray with me. Father, we just come to You right now. Lord, speak to us through this passage of Scripture. Lord, thank You for the Word that You have for us this morning. Get me out of the way, Lord. I don't want to mess this up. Speak to Your people, Lord. Open their hearts. Open my heart. Speak to us. May we hear Your voice. Sink it deep, Lord. And may we leave this place and do whatever You command us, Lord. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. So, looking at what Jesus just said here. So, to experience what Jesus was talking about in John 10:10, that full life, that abundant life, we've got to obey this command, what Jesus said in Luke chapter 9 right here, what we just read. So, to experience God's gains and the abundant life or the full life, first and foremost, you must deny and die daily. To experience God's gains, the abundant, the full life, you must deny and die daily. That's what you've got to do. That's what I've got to do. We see it in verse 23. "Then He said to them all, 'If anyone would come after Me, he must deny himself and take up his cross,'" that's death, "'and take up his cross daily and follow Me.'" So Jesus says here that if you want to follow Him, it is a requirement that you do this, that you deny yourself and you take up your cross daily, every day, and follow Him. And sometimes it's more often than that. You see, you got to get out of the way. You got to die. You've got to get out of the way. You see, our natural tendency is to live for self. We've got to take care of our own. I've got to take care of myself. I've got to live for myself. I've got to look out for number one. That's what the world teaches us, doesn't it? Look out for number one. Get all you can all you get, and then sit on the can. Don't let anybody else have it. That's the world's teaching. Live for self. But it's our natural tendency. But you see, our self is the problem. You see, God is telling us here that we need to get rid of ourself. That the self is a problem, that we need to exterminate it. We need to die to self, that we need to deny self. And the word deny there in the Greek, it means to cease to exist. Well, Jesus said, if you want to follow Me, that's what you got to do. You got to do it every day. And many times it's more than once a day. You've got to die to self. Why? Because self is in the way. When I'm living for self, I'm focused on me. But if I can die to self, and surrender self and exterminate self, get self out of the way, then what can I do? I can live for Jesus. I can focus on Him. Self's no longer in the way. I can focus on Him and live for Him and do His will. You see, self is all about sin, really. What's the middle letter in the word sin? I. It's self. And every sin, when you take it back to its core, it's focused on me. It's my sinfulness, my selfishness. And so, if I want to experience God's gains, the abundant, the full life, I must deny myself and die daily. Well, what does it mean to deny self? Like I said, it means to cease to exist. A great illustration of this is, now many of you have probably never even seen this before, but I'm going to tell you about it because I used to do a lot of magic when I was in like 7th and 8th grade. Not black magic or anything like that. Illusion, I guess I should say. All fake stuff, just fooling people. But anyway, one thing I could get at the magic store was flash paper. And what it was, it's this paper that you can crinkle up or do whatever, you know, in a magic trick. And if you light it on fire, just a little corner of it or whatever, the whole paper just, whoosh, it makes a big flash of fire and then it's gone. You don't see any ashes. There's no dust. There's nothing. It just ceases to exist. It's just not there anymore. I wanted to have a piece with you. I wasn't able to get one this morning and show you, but there's nothing there. That's what you got to do. That's what it means to deny yourself. You're that flesh. You just cease to exist. You're just gone. That's what Jesus tells you to do. That you need to cease to exist daily. And many times more than daily. Well, what does it mean to take up my cross? Well, that's to die. I need to die to myself daily. Well, our cat Rocky, he's a great exterminator. You guys probably know Rocky. We're neighbors. But he's a great exterminator. Rocky will lay lizards on our doorstep and mice and rats and sometimes bigger things than that. And I don't want to get too graphic. The heads will be in different places. He's a great exterminator. Other cats that he doesn't like. No, he's not. He might not be that good. I bet he could if he wanted to. But you see, all these things, he exterminates them and he gets them and he lays them out on the porch. They're just dead. That's what you got to do to yourself. You need a Rocky turned loose in your life. Sometimes we've got all these nasty areas in our life that need extermination. And you need a Rocky set loose in your life to go and kill that thing and lay it on God's doorstep and kill that and lay it down. Kill that. That's what God's calling us to do here daily. Take up your cross. Well, have you done that? Have you done that? Today's a new day. Have you done that today? Did you wake this morning and did you pray that through? Did you say, God, I want to cease to exist today. I want to die to self. Let self be gone. I want to take up my cross. I want to be dead. I want all those areas in my life to be dead, God. I just want to follow you. Well, you can do it this morning. Maybe you need to do it right now. Maybe you need to pray right now and handle some of that. So to experience God's gains, the abundant life, the full life, not only do we need to deny and die daily, we also, the next point is don't keep your life. Don't keep your life. If you keep a hold on yourself, if you keep yourself, if you keep your life, you'll actually lose it. That's what Jesus tells us. We see that in the first part of verse 24. For whoever wants to save his life will lose it. If you hold on to your life and you keep what you've got, you'll really lose it. Don't keep your life. It's not yours anyway. You didn't make yourself. You didn't decide on your hair color and eye color and where you would be born and what era you'd be born. You're God's anyway. God tells us, Scripture tells us that All things were made by Him in Colossians, and it's speaking of Jesus. All things were made by Him and for Him. He created you, and He made you for Himself, for His good pleasure. You are His. You belong to Him. You're not even, you don't even own, have any claim over yourself anyway. You try, when God says it's time for you to go, you try to keep your heart beating. You try to control your life. You'll find very quickly that you can't. You have no control over it. Don't be like the man in Luke 12. In Luke 12, just flip over a few pages more. Don't keep your life like this man. Luke 12, verse 15. Listen to this. Jesus told this story. Then He said to them, "Watch out. Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of his possessions." And He told them this parable. "The ground of a certain rich man produced a good crop. He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I'll tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store all my grain and my goods. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of good things laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself? This is how it will be with anyone who stores up things for himself but is not rich toward God." Don't be like that man. Don't keep your life. Don't let God call you a fool one day because you held on to your life and then you stood before Him one day. I went to a youth camp one time. I used to be a student minister at Cloverdale Baptist, student and education minister at Cloverdale Baptist. And the first camp I ever went to, I was taking kids to it. I had never been to a Christian camp growing up or anything, but it was Centrifuge. And I took the kids to the beach, and there was a song that God just spoke to my heart. And in that song, during our worship times together, the song, some of the lyrics would ring out, "I'm holding back, I'm holding back, I'm holding nothing back from you." And I dealt with that week. Because I felt like there was something there. I couldn't really put my finger on it. I couldn't really figure it out, but I was just praying about that. God, what am I holding back from you? What am I holding back from you? I don't want to hold anything back from you. Any area in my life. What are you holding back from Him? Can you sing that song this morning? "Lord, I'm holding back, I'm holding back, I'm holding nothing back from you." Or does something jump out at you? You say, "Well, I want to sing that." Well, sing it after this morning. Pray with it. Pray about it right now. Deal with it. Don't hold it back anymore. Let it go. Give it to Him. Hold nothing back from Him. Don't keep your life. You'll lose it. It's like a riptide. You know, if you're caught out in a riptide, if you're swimming off the Gulf Coast and you're in the waters and a riptide comes, you know, your natural tendency, you're being pulled out deeper and deeper in the water, and your natural tendency, you realize something's trying to take your life and you want to hold on to your life. You want to save your life. You don't want to lose it. And so you start swimming forward toward the shore. I don't want to be out there drowned. But the more you swim forward, the more it takes you out. The more it takes you under. And the more you try to save your life, you lose it. And many have died in the waters with the riptide. That's not the answer, to try to save your life and swim forward. You need to swim off to the side, way out there. You need to just let it take you on out as far as it's going to take you, and then just come swimming back in. That's how it is. Jesus says, if you want to save your life, if you hold on to your life, you're going to lose it. Don't hold on to it. Don't hold on to any area of it. In any area of it that you hold on to, that's sin. And what the wages of sin is, death. Ultimately, the end of holding on to areas of our life is death. Don't keep your life. Maybe you're saying, well, I want to run my life. I'll be in charge. I'll make the decisions. Don't let God call you a fool. Don't do that. Give it away. Don't keep your life. So, to experience God's gains, abundant and full life, deny and die daily. Don't keep your life. And next, give it away. That's the answer. That's God's answer. Give it away. You see that in the second part of verse 24. But whoever loses his life for me will save it. Give it away. If you give your life to Jesus, you'll actually gain a better life. Give it away to Him. Cry out to Him. Say to Him, take all of me, Jesus. I'm holding nothing back from you. I'm holding nothing. I'm holding nothing. I'm holding nothing back from you, Jesus. Give your whole life to Him. Trust Him for your salvation. Give your life to Him in salvation. He says that you've sinned against Him. And your sin will keep you separated from Him. The day that you die, when you pass away and you stand before the Lord, your sin will keep you separated from Him for all eternity. You'll spend eternity in punishment, eternal punishment in hell. But He loves you so much. He came down from heaven. He left heaven. He existed here on the earth. He took all your sin upon Him. In the Garden of Gethsemane, His sweat was like drops of blood because He was bearing your sin, all of your guilt and your shame and your sin that you hadn't even committed yet because you weren't born, but He knew it back then, and it was all being placed on Him. Even your future sins that you haven't done yet piled more and more on Him, and He bore the weight and the guilt of your sins. And then the punishment is death and hell. And so He went to that cross. He took your punishment for you. He suffered and He died. He took your punishment so you don't have to be punished. And then He was raised from the dead the third day, and all your sins have been paid for. And if you will simply admit to Him that you have sinned against Him and believe that He did all that for you, and then call on Him and say, Lord, save me. I give you my life. And don't keep it any longer, but give it away. Give it to Him. Say, I'm yours, Jesus. Thank you for saving me. I give you my life. I want to follow you all the rest of my days. Give you all that I am. Help me to follow you. Wow. It's amazing. He changes your life. He gives you new life. Trust Him in salvation. Trust Him to be Lord. And when you say Jesus is Lord, that means He runs your life. If you say Jesus is Lord, Jesus is my Lord, that means He's above everything in your life. That means He's above your closest relationships. Maybe you have a spouse. Maybe you have a child. Maybe you're, I don't know, whatever you love the most in life. If Jesus is Lord, that means you love Him a lot more. He's on a higher plane. You love Him the most. And He's first and foremost. And you put Him first in your life above your children and your spouse and everything in your life. That's what it is if He's Lord. Everything else comes under Him. Trust Him to be Lord. Trust Him to run your life. And we see this, you may want to jot down some of these passages of Scripture. You can look at them later. We see His command to do this, and we see how we need to allow Him to be Lord. In Matthew 29, He says, come under His yoke. That means let Him be in control. Romans 12, starting in verse 1, I urge you, brothers, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as living sacrifices, to give Him your whole life. We see it in Galatians 2:20. For I've been crucified with Christ. I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Now the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. You're crucified with Christ. Ephesians 5, be filled with the Spirit. What does that mean? Give your life to Him. Let Him be in control. You're dead and gone. You just fill me with you, Lord. Take over my life. I'm holding nothing back from you. Live through me. That's what it is to be filled with the Spirit. And that's God's command. Be filled and keep on being filled. with my spirit, the Lord tells us. Give your life to Him. And what is your life? Everything that you are, your time, your talents, your treasures, your resources. What does that look like? Well, God, I'm giving you my time. I'm going to do whatever you want today. I'm not going to set the agenda. I'm going to wake up and say, Lord, my time is yours. This day is yours. What do you have for me? What do you want me to do? My time is yours. Lord, my talents are yours. Lord, I didn't give myself these talents. You gave me these talents. You gave me these abilities, these skills, these resources, the passions that drive me in my heart, the things that I love. You put all that there. You wired me a certain way. You gave me the spiritual gifts that you gave me. Why? All of that. Summing up who I am because you want to take all that and use it for your glory, for your kingdom. To make disciples, to help other people come to know you. So you can ask yourself, Lord, am I using everything that I am? Have I given you all my talents and resources, all that I am through Highland Avenue Baptist Church? Am I doing these ministries, creating new ministries that you call me to do? Whatever you've called me to do, am I doing it for you, Jesus? What about your resources? Lord, am I giving you all that I am? Lord, everything that I receive, everything that I take in, any resources that I gain, Lord, am I giving you your first tenth, the tithe? Lord, am I surrendering that to you? Am I saying, Lord, it's all yours. Here's the first tenth as you require, as you tell me to give you. Here it is. I give you this. And now I'm asking you, Lord, now that I've given you my first tenth, my top of the crop, now I'm asking you, Lord, how do you want me to use the rest? What do you want me to do with the rest of my resources? It's all up to you. It's all yours, Lord. I'm not going to use it on myself. How do you want me to use it, Lord? Are you doing that? Are you surrendering all that you are to Him? Finally, in that last verse, 25, we realize that by keeping your life and holding on to what you are, even if you gain the whole world, if you gained everything the world had to offer, but if you're holding on to your life and keeping your life, you will forfeit the abundant life that God has for you. You will forfeit the abundant life, the full life that He desires for you. You'll miss it. Gaining the whole world, having everything the world has to offer, you'll miss it. And then on top of that, you'll lose your life. So don't do it. Don't do it. Losses equal gains in God's economy. Let's pray together. Father, we just thank You for Your love for us. And Lord, help us to surrender. Lord, if there is somebody here today that needs to give You their life, Lord, maybe they know, they've heard Your voice this morning. They've known that You desire that they come to You to be saved from their sins. Lord, that they know that You are calling them to give You their life. Lord, help them to pray right now and say, Lord Jesus, I give You my life. I'm Yours. Thank You for this message today, Jesus. I give You my life, all that I am. Lord, there are others that are holding things back from You. Lord, point it out to them what they're holding back right now. And Lord, help them right now to pray and say, Lord, no more. No more. I'm holding back. I'm holding back. I'm holding nothing back from You. Lord, You take this thing. I give it all to You. I give You my life. Lord, maybe there are others that need to join this church. That's what they're holding back. They know You want them to, but they're holding back. Lord, help them to step out of into the aisle and to walk down the aisle and say, I want this to be my church, as Chris leads us in this song. Lord, whatever decisions need to be made, please lead each of us. Help us to obey You. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. As Chris leads us in this song, whatever decision you need to make, you come. You let us know.